Shavua Tov, the Devach. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Yisro was an extraordinary individual. He was so extraordinary that when he comes to meet Moshe Rabbeinu shares with him in greater detail about the miracles and everything that Hashem did. So the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzil Etchem Yad Mitzrayim U'Miyad Paro. Yisro says, Baruch Hashem, for the great miracles that Hashem did. Now, Medrash says that this is such an amazing statement that Yisro made that it's actually an indirect critique. It's like a shtach of Klal Yisrael. Amar Papis, Bignus Yisrael HaKosov Medaber. This is a shtach to Klal Yisrael. How is that? Shehare Yesham Shishim Ribo Bnei Adam Lo Amad Echad Mehem Levarech Lamakom. Ad Sheba Yisro Berech Lamakom. Because nobody, 600,000 Jews came out of Mitzrayim, and none of them said Baruch Hashem for what Hashem had done. And so the Pasuk says, Vayomer Yisro, he said Baruch Hashem. So it's a shtach from Klal Yisro. So apparently, this is like an amazing, amazing thing that Yisro did. Number two, the Zohar tells us that Yisro's Baruch Hashem was so amazing and so unique and so extraordinary that Ad Shelo Ba Yisro, until Yisro came along and gave praise and thanks to Hashem, the Torah would not have been given, or perhaps would not have been given just yet. It was Yisro's recitation of Baruch Hashem that was like a secret ingredient, holding back, as it were, Matan Torah, and this was like the necessary thing that would trigger Matan Torah. So his Baruch Hashem was amazing. It was amazing because apparently Klal Yisrael should have done it, and this is like a shtach to Klal Yisrael. So it was amazing because it was without this, apparently Matan Torah would have been either pushed off or delayed or maybe even not happened. It's a little strange to say, but clearly this was a necessary ingredient. And thirdly, the Gemara says that Yisro's Baruch Hashem was so amazing that we learn a halacha from this. And the halacha that we learn is, Haroe Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim Li Yisrael. The person sees a place that Nes happened to Klal Yisrael, so he has to make a bracha. Baruch Shasa Nisim Lavo, Sein of Makom Hazeh. And actually, not only that, but the Magen Avraham points out, not just when you see a place where a miracle happened, but if you see a person to whom a miracle happened, it triggers the requirements for a bracha. So, and where do we learn this from, says the Gemara in Brachos? We learn that you say a bracha when you see a place of an ace from the Baruch Hashem of Yisro. So Yisro was amazing, amazing in these ways. Question is, was he really so amazing? Was he really so amazing? What's the big deal of his saying Baruch Hashem? In fact, Yisro was not the first person to say Baruch Hashem. So what's so unique about him? Avimelech said Baruch Hashem, Melchizedek said Baruch Hashem, Eliezer when he finds Rivka says Baruch Hashem, and even Klal Yisrael, without actually saying the words Baruch Hashem, basically said Baruch Hashem when they say the Shira. So again, the question is, what is so unique, so special, so amazing about the Baruch Hashem of Yisro? I saw a beautiful idea that Yisro's Baruch Hashem was indeed different. Yisro's Baruch Hashem was indeed powerful for the following reason. The Baruch Hashems of the past were Baruch Hashems when an event occurred, just Maisa. So Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yam Suf. They said Baruch Hashem through Az Yashir. Eliezer finds Rivka for Yitzchak. He realizes the journey is going to be successful. He says Baruch Hashem as well. So B'shas Maisa, at the moment, there is the ability for a person to be so inspired, to have a divine awareness, a consciousness of the blessing that he is receiving from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and indeed to respond to it. And that's everybody up until Yisro. But Yisro was a little different. Time had passed. A little bit of time had passed. And even though time had passed, Yisro came along and still was able to say Baruch Hashem, was able to be so inspired, not because he was experiencing it in the moment, and not even because he experienced it at all, but because he was able afterwards to see it and appreciate it and act upon it. And this is actually reflected in an interesting medrash. As part of the human condition, we experience things, It could be the most amazing experience. And then like a day later, you know, what else is new? What else is new? It's actually a psychological phenomenon. To borrow an analogy, it's easy to go from economy to business class or from business class to first class. It's not so easy to go in the other direction. Meaning to say that when a person moves up from economy to business class, they feel, oh, this is gewaldic. But after a while, you feel like, my golly, this is how life should be. Life should be business class. You don't want to go back to economy. But it requires a certain awareness and a consciousness and a mindfulness to say, no, this is business class. This is gewaldic. Remember that feeling that I had when I moved from economy to business? That's how I should be feeling right now. Take another example. Person, God forbid, bruises his leg, let's say. A bruised leg, or a person has a stomach virus. You know how you feel, what sort of that moment where the pain is gone, where the nausea is gone. It's not just that you feel like it's no longer. It's not just the absence of pain. That moment is like you feel like you're at the top of the world. You feel pain free. You feel you're not nauseous anymore. You just feel amazing. The truth of the matter is, we always feel amazing. But because we always feel amazing when we're healthy, we don't feel it as amazing. This is what was gewaldic about Yisro. Yisro was able to see not just Bishas Maisa, to have that moment of inspiration and call out Baruch Hashem and say the Shira, but even La'achar Maisa. That was the godless of Yisro. And the Medrash reflects this aspect of the human condition by saying that when Klal Yisro across the Amsuf, so the Malachim wanted to say Shira. And Hashem said, hold on. Bnei Yisrael are going to go first. They want to say Shira now. I'm letting them go first. And Hashem pushed the Malachim off. Why? Why did Hashem push the Malachim off? Because Malachim can effortlessly be inspired at any time. But human beings, it's hard to recapture that sense of inspiration. So Hashem just said, you know, let this go. So this is the godless of Yisro. And this is what Yisro had over Moshe Klal Yisro. This is why it was a little bit of a shtach to Moshe V'shishim Ribo. Klal Yisro should have understood and had the mindfulness to say, oh, we're in business class. We're not in the economy anymore. But no, a few days later, you know, people aren't saying Baruch Hashem anymore. They aren't able to muster themselves to say Baruch Hashem. And this is why Yisro triggers Matan Torah. Because it's the necessary ingredient for success as an Eved Hashem is to be in it for the long haul. Not just the moment of inspiration. Not just that moment when a person has that sense of tshuka, that sense of the devekus. No, every day, the long haul, in and out. That is what Yisro represents. And Yisro is the one whose actions provide the basis for saying a bracha on a neis when you go back, because that's exactly what Yisro is. Going back, not b'shas maisa. He was the one who afterwards was able to muster that sense of awareness of the divine presence and say Baruch Hashem even afterward. And that's why he, and only he, is the framework, is the basis for the halacha of saying a bracha on a neis when you go back to that place where a neis occurred, Klal Yisrael. So what was amazing about Yisro is that he wasn't a one-hit wonder. He wasn't just a guy that came and did and left. He was able to move it forward for the long term. And this is what is extraordinary about Yisro. But is it true? Is it really true that he wasn't a one-hit wonder, that he was the guy who was able to take it forward and, you know, do it over the long term, to be able to be inspired in La'achar Maisa? And the answer is yes, as we just pointed out, but not entirely clear that it was so. Because there's a mechilta that says that when Yisro left Moshe and Klal Yisro in the desert, and when he went back home, so what did he do when he went back home? So there are two opinions in the mechilta. One opinion is that he went back home and he just went back to, you know, went back to Midian, and that was it. He didn't convert. He didn't throw in his lot with Klal Yisro. He just, you know, went back, maybe a little bit edified, but that was basically it. The other version of the mechilta is that Yisro went back in order to inspire his family, his friends, his community, his people, and to come on a journey back to Eretz Yisrael. And indeed, he did convert and throw in his lot with Klal Yisro. So Yisro's ultimate end is left a little bit ambiguous. And I would argue the reason it was left ambiguous, and Chazal doesn't clarify it for us, we have these two views in Chazal, is because Chazal want us to grapple. Not just grapple with whether Yisro was a one-hit wonder or whether he was in it for the long term, but to ask ourselves the question, are we going to be a one-hit wonder? Are we going just to live for the moment of inspiration, or are we going to challenge ourselves to open our eyes and open our ears and allow our senses to feel and experience the divine presence in our life every single day after day after day? And how we answer that question ultimately will determine whether we also are roi for Matan Torah, as it were. Whether we are roi for this mission, for this journey of being Avdei Hashem. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the inspiration, the wisdom, the presence of mind to embark on this journey, and in doing so, to successfully complete this journey over a lifetime of continued inspiration, continued mindfulness, continued awareness of the divine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives every single day. Agud Vach to all.